Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and it's the same situation today with my voice. That's okay, because I like this intimate fellowship here. I thought I'd give you something else to look at. I just can't project my voice. See, that's the problem. Yeah, I can't put it out there, so I got to get up close to this little free microphone that's attached directly to my phone. And if I did it like I usually do, you know, you'd see something like this. You'd be looking at my ear. Well, I'm looking at my ear now. It's not that bad of an ear. But anyway, I got some loose ends to take care of. Yeah, my voice is shot. It's kind of turning into kind of like a cold flu type crap. Charles is down here. It's like 5:30 in the morning. I'll show you Charles. There he is. I hope you can see him over there. I hope you didn't see my bare knees. Maybe you did. I don't know. I have nice knees. I'll show them to you here. Yeah, but Charles is cuter. So I got some things to, like a grab bag and thing. I'll show you the globe down there. There you go. There's the earth. That's where Israel's going to rule right there. This is the reign of Israel's rule. There's two spheres in the scriptures, the earth and the heavens. Anything not on the earth is in the heavens. God's using Israel during the 1,000 years to bring the earth in subjection to God. And he's using the body of Christ in the heavens to bring the celestial beings in subjection to God. Yeah, just go from Genesis 1:1 like to Colossians 1:16 through 20, or Colossians 1:20. It's like God created the heavens and the earth, and through Christ to reconcile the heavens and the earth to himself. There it is. You got the whole scriptures wrapped up in two verses. Genesis 1:1, Colossians 1:20. You just skip the rest of the Bible there. It says, and God created the heavens and the earth, and he will reconcile both the heavens and the earth through the blood of his cross. That's all you need to know. Of course, it does help to know the agents by which he does this for the earth, Israel, for the heavens, the body of Christ. I was criticized, if you can believe this. Somebody freaking disagreed with me. Some people who think they know scripture, they commented on my post concerning the two evangels, concerning the snatching away, and they mocked the snatching away. They mocked God's plans for the body of Christ. They mocked 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They would also mock, if they had a chance, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talks about our bodies being transformed from mortal to immortality. And these guys, whoever they are, they actually made a video refuting my video. So, yeah, more power to them, except the fact that they think they're experts, but they think they're surgeons of the Word of God, and yet they're operating with chainsaws, pickaxes, and shovels, and they're not very exact, and I'll tell you why. These dudes also believe that anybody who thinks the kingdom is still coming, anyone who believes that God is actually, or Jesus Christ is actually going to return to earth, set up a kingdom for 1,000 years with Israel as the head, such a person is just immature, juvenile, and believes in highfalutin fantasies. And of course, they use the common verse. By the way, people who say this, they're called preterists. Okay, there's a name for them, preterists. I don't know where the term came from. I hate theological terms. A preterist is someone who believes that in 70 AD, when Rome came to Jerusalem in accord with Jesus' prophecy, and not one stone of this temple will remain upon another, he said, the hour of judging is coming to this generation. Well, yeah, that came compliments of Titus. Roman general came to Jerusalem, sacked the city, burned it up. It was a horrible thing. Josephus writes all about it. And some people think that that was the tribulation. Yes, they think that was the tribulation. Yeah, when a third of humanity is going to be killed, a third of the earth will be blighted, a third of the waters shall be fouled. Titus sacking Jerusalem. A third of the earth, population of the earth being killed. Doesn't match up, does it? No. But see, they spiritualize everything. They squint. They smear jelly on their eyes, and they hang themselves upside down, and they turn on a fog machine. Well, this is kind of like the tribulation. The reason they say that is because of Jesus saying, near is the kingdom of God. John the Baptist says, near in the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. And they think that because Jesus and John the Baptist said it was near, that it must have come. As if Israel wasn't near to the promised land and got turned away because of unbelief and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Yeah, that's exactly what happened in Acts. Exactly what happened. The kingdom was near. Israel was at the door of their millennial reign. But just like when they faced Canaan at the edge of the Jordan River, they were turned away for unbelief, wandered in the wilderness 40 years because they were sissies. They didn't believe God. They were afraid of the Canaanites. Oh, they're so big. Oh, my God, look at the size of that one over there. See him? Oh, we can't go. We can't go over there. They had no confidence in God. So they're wandering still. And then, of course, God knew the kingdom wasn't supposed to come because he made way for the secret administration of the grace of God. See, you need to be a surgeon with a scalpel. And like typical people who think the king, oh, by the way, if the kingdom came back then, that means the millennium occurred between the years 70 AD and 1070, yeah. That was the millennium. And now we're in the new heavens and new earth. The great white throne judgment has already taken place. New heavens and new earth. God is dwelling with humanity. All sin and death has been eliminated from the earth. There's a new Jerusalem somewhere. Maybe it's in New Jersey. I don't know. Yeah, these people are nuts. They had grape jelly all over their eyes. Can't understand it. And they use this first. This is what tells me that they're operating with chainsaws here. Luke 17:20, now being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus answered them and said, quote, the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. That I'm reading from the Concordant version. Neither shall they be declaring, lo here or lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside of you. So here's what these people say, because they don't know scripture. Well, first thing, they're quoting from the King James Version. King James says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Yes, it cometh not with observation. Now, notice the difference between that and the Concordant Version. The kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. What's the difference? It's huge. The difference is huge. I'm going to explain it to you. With my voice the way it is, I'm just going to have to do it this way. See, this is a classic case of the King James mistranslating. I mean, really, all you need is a concordance to see it. But these people aren't careful. They just hack away. They're like hacking away at a jungle with a machete. That's how they treat the Word of God. And then they call themselves experts. And they make videos telling how I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm using a scalpel. They're using a machete. This word in the King James Version, or in the Greek text, it's paratheresis. Paratheresis. It only occurs one time in the entire scripture. The English elements are beside keeping. Paratheresis. The Concordant Version rightly translates it scrutiny, because that's what it means. What the King James Version has done, they translated observation, but observe or see or observation is the way they translated the word blepo over 50 times, more than that. The Greek word blepo does not occur in Luke 17:20. This isn't the word blepo. If this was the Greek word blepo, then yes, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. But it's not the word blepo. But the King James translators didn't give a crap. They saw the word paratheresis here, which is a different word. It's not blepo. It's paratheresis, but they translated it the same way they translated blepo. So they translated blepo, observe, or see, or observation, and they translated paratheresis, a completely different word, obviously. Listen carefully. Blepo, paratheresis. Blepo, paratheresis. The Concordant version seeing two different Greek words said, aha, must be two different, we must translate with two different English words. Yeah. So they put scrutiny here, which is the perfect word for beside keeping. It's like you keep yourself beside a pot boiling on the stove and you watch it. Here's the point. Jesus was telling these Pharisees, now remember, they're asking him, when is the kingdom of God coming? Because they want the inside scoop. They want the inside information. They want the, hey, the kingdom of God is coming on Thursday, January 20th. That's what they wanted. But our Lord said, that information will be useless. It will be useless to have inside information, to be privy to a secret, because the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. The kingdom of God is coming with such might and power and lightning and voices and trumpets and sounds and everything else, pyrotechnics, I don't know. Those Hollywood lights, you know, for movie premieres, that scrutiny will be useless. I mean, yeah, it's not coming with scrutiny. It's not coming by paying attention to minutia and trying to be the only ones who discern its appearance. No, I'm nuts, because it's not coming that way. In fact, it's coming with great observation. And if anybody is willing to look one level beneath the surface and look at translating issues, which these machete boys aren't willing to do or can't do or don't even know to do it, they might be King James only guys. I don't know. The King James was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for us. All right, that's that. Oh, and then Jesus said, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside of you. It's a figure of speech, of course. A kingdom can't be inside of a person. Where is it? Next to my liver? Where's the kingdom? It's inside of me. Is it between my kidneys? Is it behind my stomach lining? Where is it? Is it in front of my spine? Or maybe it's up near the thoracic vertebrae? No. You see, you got to remember who's questioning Jesus here. The Pharisees, being inquired of by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming. They wanted to be the only ones who knew. Jesus Christ said, forget it. It's not coming that way. It's coming with great observation. It's coming. Oh, it's not coming with paratheresis. It is coming with blepo. Yeah, that's it. It's not coming with paratheresis. It's not coming with scrutiny the way you people wish it would. No, it's coming with observation. Every eye shall behold him. Don't these guys read the Bible? Every eye shall behold him? That's how the kingdom is coming. Nobody have to say, I wonder if this is the kingdom. I wonder. See, these people that think the kingdom came in AD 70, they're like, even there's a debate. Like, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Oh, I don't know. Jesus said it was near. But when the kingdom of God comes, it's going to be so obvious. The Lord himself is going to be descending to the Mount of Olives, again, with his holy messengers, as the scripture says, with thunder and lightning, great signs. Nobody's going to be standing on the earth going, I wonder if this is the kingdom. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So the Pharisees thought that the kingdom would be administered from without. See, they're completely old covenant. They're thinking still of obeying laws and bringing the kingdom by an outside force. But Jesus is saying the kingdom is within you. In other words, he's going to renew their heart. Where? You mean right near the left ventricle, Martin, or the aorta? Is that where the kingdom is? It's going to change their hearts? No, it's another figure of speech. It's an interchange. That is, Israel's going to have to be changed, given a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. That's what Jesus is saying there. You know, you're going to operate with a scalpel here, people. A scalpel. So I feel sorry for these preterists. I feel sorry for these people who put up videos saying how terribly wrong and deceived Martin Sender is. Martin Sender doesn't matter. It's like, what techniques are you using to interpret scripture, right? Are you using a scalpel or a freaking machete? You're using a machete. I feel sorry for these people. I really do. I really do. They're hacking. And they're hackers. All right, I wanted to get way farther than this. I wanted to go back to Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to, but this is what I wanted to do. I'll tell you what I wanted to do, and then I'll take up with it on Monday. Hopefully my voice will be better. I don't know, but I like kind of like this intimacy here. Look at Charles over here. Charles likes it. On Monday, I'm going to go back to Miriam, sitting in her house, doing nothing, maybe needlepoint, knitting. Maybe she's playing checkers with her family, and the angel Gabriel was dispatched and told her how things were. This is exactly how God comes to us. We're sitting here doing nothing, minding our own business, going our way. Some of us were in the religious organizations of our parents, and the Lord just overwhelmed us with grace, truth, and faith. This is what he did with Miriam. She questions the whole thing. How can this be? Oh, geez, shut up, lady. Honestly. Because it's God? Really? How can this be? How can this be? I haven't known a man. Oh, it's no problem. I want to talk more about that Monday. And then her cousin Elizabeth was barren. And it's great stuff. And then I promised you to comment upon Luke 1:33. Speaking of the kingdom of God, of his kingdom, there should be no consummation. Martin, the Bible contradicts itself. Why do you say that? Because in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ gives up the kingdom. Oh, yeah, well, there's a key word in Luke 1:33 that once you realize the key word, you'll understand that the Bible never contradicts itself. Sometimes it appears to, but to those who operate with scalpels in the Word of God, there's absolutely no contradiction. Yes, oh, yes. Yes, the Scriptures are as sharp as a two-edged sword, able to divide between the soul and the spirit. We are not seeking in the scripture soulishly, that is, with emotions, with machetes. No. We are operating by the Spirit of God. Oh, Charles has a scratch. Big news, big news. We're operating in the Spirit of God. As God gives us the wisdom and the strength to understand what he's doing, where he's going, and where we are going in him.